Hi, I'm Will Roadhouse, and I'm the CEO of Roadhouse International and Compass Group International, and welcome to another episode of the 10-Minute Expat Thailand Edition. Today's episode, I want to talk about the difference between Thailand and Fiji. If you weren't aware, my firm actually produced the very first episodes for House Hunters International in Fiji. And we had a lot of fun. We spent a lot of time in Fiji, and I want to talk about Fiji and how it compares to Thailand. And this episode is really going out towards the listeners that are listening in New Zealand and Australia, because Fiji is basically your neighbor, and Fiji really caters to a lot of New Zealanders and people from Australia for second homes, third homes, or a future retirement place. I want to let you know that not too much further is Thailand, and why Thailand actually is superior when it comes down to a second home or even future retirement. So when I first went to Fiji, let me just kind of give you an overview summary. We spent time in Savu Savu, Vanvalavu, and Coral Island. Those are where we did four of our episodes. And Fiji is obviously, there are so many different little islands throughout Fiji, but we did it with two of the largest islands and one very, very small, beautiful island called Coral Island, which I'll talk about in just a minute. But Fiji, if you look at all the island chains in Fiji, it is almost as big as the United States. It's actually that vast. There are just so many little tiny islands all over the place. So Fiji just doesn't consist of these little handful of little islands, if you weren't aware. And I wasn't aware of that until I came to the island and I was educated. But the one thing is that Fiji is known for their postcard moments. It's extremely tropical and exotic, and it is a beautiful country. But one of the things that is exceptional and just, I guess it's the highest on my list of one of the praises for Fiji, are the people. The people of Fiji are some of the absolute nicest, heartwarming people that I have ever met in my life. They are so kind. Love Fijians. So if you're Fijian, you listen to this, I love you guys. Love your culture. Truly, spending time in Fiji has changed me in many ways for the better too, and especially spending time in Coral Island. Coral Island, we did a couple episodes there, and Coral Island is, I would say, more reminiscent of a island getaway. It is absolutely gorgeous, and Coral Island was really, really devastated from a major hurricane, I think about a decade ago, or less than a decade ago. But we did a couple episodes there, and we spent a lot of time in the island. And the one thing is that, like anyone else, when you go to a tropical getaway, like in Coral Island, you go to a beautiful resort, you're like, this place is great. Wow, it's so beautiful. The people are super nice. I get fresh seafood all day long. There's so many nice villages filled with beautiful people and friendly individuals, friendly people. And the water is just gorgeous. It's different shades of blue, beautiful sand. Oh my God, I can just picture my wife and I living here forever. Well, I kind of had that same frame of mind when I first went there. I'm like, this place is gorgeous. And one of the homes that we actually showed that wasn't the purchase home, it was actually on the beach. It was like a 3-bedroom bungalow. And it was right on the water. I mean, your front yard is this beautiful ocean. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I might buy that. But after spending time in Coral Island, I realized it just wasn't for me. And it's very similar to the rest of Fiji. Fiji is beautiful. Like I said, it's filled with it's one of the most exotic destinations I've ever been to. But the problem is the lack of infrastructure and growth. So if you're the individual or the person that really loves to be remote and you don't want to see a single soul, you don't like mega malls, you don't want movie theaters, you just want to be in your home on the beach and just be away from everyone. Yeah, Fiji is perfect for you. But unfortunately, people like that are, I would say, maybe the 5 or 1% of the retirees out there. They're very, very few. You may think that you're like that, but when you actually try to live your life like that, you realize that you're missing out on all the material things that you miss out back home. And that's the one thing that I realized. Spending time in Fiji, I'm like, okay, I've done everything on this island within a week. Now, what else is there to do? There's nothing to do. You go to the beach. Yeah, the beach is gorgeous, but you're the only one on the beach. There's nobody there. There's nobody to talk to. There's nobody to see. There aren't any food carts or restaurants or vendors where you can go get a drink and have some tasty meals while enjoying this beautiful ocean or beautiful beach. There's nothing like that. So it was just a little too remote for me and a little bit too boring. And I wasn't the only one that felt that way. My business partner, Dean Studebaker, which you've seen on many, many episodes and half of the episodes for Fiji, said the same exact thing. And he's very, very well traveled and he's also very independent, but he's like, you know what? I don't think I can live here. And also our camera crew. We had two separate sets of crews and both sets of crews said the same exact thing. And obviously everyone came from LA, but they're like, you know what? This is just a little too remote for me. And how it differs from Thailand is completely the opposite. You're still going to get all the beautiful beaches that you want and the beautiful and fantastic nightlifes of big cities like in Pattaya or even in Bangkok. But you're not going to sacrifice by missing out on all the material things like malls and movie theaters. Just simple, should I say, conveniences. Those are the tiny little things that people forget about when they are looking for a second or third home or even a place to retire. It's like they say, you know, if you're one of these individuals that always want to better yourself and better your relationship, so if you've ever read any sort of relationship book on how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, especially when it comes to communication, is that it's not about the big things that make your marriage better, or make your relationship better. It's those little tiny little things that you do that your wife or your husband appreciates. And if you're married, you truly understand that. It's the little tiny things like taking out the garbage, doing laundry sometimes, picking up after yourself. You know, it's those little tiny things, putting the seat down on the toilet. It's those tiny little things that your wife or your significant other appreciates. And it's the same exact example I can give you when you're looking for these destination getaways or these second homes, is that you have to remember the tiny little conveniences, like being able to walk to a convenience store, being able to go to a movie theater, being able to just get a burger or Mexican food. Those little things are missing in a lot of these remote getaways like Coral Island or places like in Fiji. And that's the number one reason why people usually move back home or move to the capital city. So as disappointing as it was for me, it still was a fantastic experience. You know, I want to tell you a wonderful story about the Coral Island. So before we left, we were in Savu Savu. And we're having dinner, a fantastic dinner, with our developer of this massive community. And he had his friends there at dinner. And everybody was saying, wow, so you're going to film your next episode in Coral Island? We said, yes. I said, you're going to love it. It's magical. We're all, you know, the crew and everyone, we're all looking at each other like, yeah, right. They're like, no, it truly is. It's magical. You will never experience anything like in Coral Island. Like, yeah, okay, whatever. We just take it with a grain of salt. So the very next day, we fly in this, we're in a Cessna Caravan. So if you're not familiar with those, it's like a puddle jumper. Cessna Caravans are very reliable planes. They, you know, 6, maybe 10 to sometimes 12 seaters. So we took a Cessna Caravan and then we land this, It's not even airstrip. It's just this field. It looks like we're going to hit the side of a mountain. We land this field, and then we get out in this middle of nowhere. These trucks come and pick us up and takes us to the resort where we're staying to film for the episode. And as we're staying there, if you're not aware, kava root is extremely important in the Fijian culture. So you've heard of kava root, you know, those little pills you take to help relax yourself. Well, kava root in Fiji is literally 100 to 1,000 times stronger. It's actually a mild narcotic, and people actually do get hooked on this stuff and they drink it all day. Well, we didn't know this until we got there, but in Coral Island, they have some of the strongest kava root in the country, and it's very well known. So every night, first of all, we didn't have any internet in our bungalows on the beach, which was still gorgeous because we're on the beach. So our nightly entertainment, because there's just no movie theaters, there's nothing, no malls, just nothing. We would go to the main lodge of this resort and we would sing. We would eat, we would sing, we would drink kava, and it was a whole crew and us, and then we would go swimming under the moonlight, and then again, go back, build a bonfire. It was just so much fun. It felt like I was in camp. I felt like a kid. We loved this. Every night we're getting high, drinking this super potent kava. But here's the magical part of Coral Island. And I don't know if it's a kava that we were drinking or it's something about this island, but have you ever experienced a dream so vivid that you can taste it and you can touch it? I mean, it's just, the dream was just so lifelike. And I remember the very next morning, here we are at dinner or in breakfast, this smorgasbord of fresh fruits and that was just picked right there in within this resort. Everyone's quiet. And suddenly we start talking. And I said, man, I had the craziest dream last night. And suddenly everyone just erupted. Oh my God, so did I, blah, blah, blah. And we just start talking about our vivid dreams. And the crazy thing is, the moment that we left Coral Island, so at the end of the shoot, which is about 2 weeks later, we head back to Savusavu, Savusavu, and spent the night there. Very next day, we're talking again. We didn't have those dreams. It was just really weird. It just like it shut down. And we were still drinking kava, so nothing's changed. We were still drinking kava in the evenings with some of the friends that we met in Fiji. And we met some great friends. We had some really, really built a fantastic relationship with some of the locals there that were helping us on a production and that were part of the development team for the communities. And the dreams just stopped. Then after that, I left for Auckland, New Zealand. And in Auckland, I didn't experience anything like that. And still to this day, I have never experienced vivid dreams like I did in Coral Island. And when I still speak to the crew a couple years later after that, and also some other people that were with us, they said the same exact thing. That island, when the folks were telling us the night before we left that there's something magical about the island, I actually believe it now. And I still have never had an experience like that. Not just the vivid dreams, but also being a part of a community with villagers. We went fishing with them. We got to understand them. It was just a really, really nice feeling to be a part of that type of community that's so tight-knit. I remember one time I was looking for some fruit to eat because there's a bunch of fruit right there in a resort. And I was picking, I think, some passion fruit or something, and I brought it to the kitchen. And there were about three ladies that worked at the resort. And one of them said, "So how many children do you have?" I said, "I don't have any." And I said, "How many children do you have?" And I think she had like eight. The other woman had like six. The other woman had like, I don't know, five or six of them. I'm like, "Oh my God." I said, "So everyone has a lot of kids?" She's like, "Yeah." And I said, "So when you're here at work, who takes care of your kids?" "Like the village does." I'm like, "Really?" She's like, "Yeah, we all take care of each other." And you know what she said to me? She said, "Well, you know, one of the things about the Fijian culture is how open we are. If you were to go anywhere in the country and you were to knock on someone's door and say, 'Can you please feed me?' they will. They will invite you in. They will feed you. They will house you." And I'm saying, so I'm like, "Okay, so if I were walking to your village right now with nothing and say, 'Can you take me in?' you would take me in?" She's like, "Yeah, without question." I thought that was amazing. That was like one of the, it was shocking, but it was shockingly beautiful having that conversation with someone, that there are human beings that have this trust and have this love for one another. That it doesn't matter what race, ethnicity, where you're from, you're a human being, and they will accept who you are and they will take you in as one of their own. That was one of the most powerful experiences I ever had, and it has changed me to be a little bit more compassionate. And Fiji is always going to be near and dear in my heart. I want to take my wife there someday, because as much as I don't want to live there, but man, I just love the people there. So that is kind of the difference between Fiji and, let's say, Thailand. Fiji, like I said, is a wonderful place to visit. You may meet some great friends. It also be life-changing like it did for me. But when it comes down to living there full time, I think you'll still be better off in Thailand. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you soon.